This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, sitting in for Terry Gross.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
That was Sean Connery, the first James Bond, in a series of movies that began 40 years ago and is still going strong. Pierce Brosnan is the current incarnation of 007, and his latest Bond film, Die Another Day, opens today. From the start, James Bond's image as the ultra-cool spy was enhanced by the theme music that was always playing behind him. Much of the time, the music was as bold and brassy as Bond himself. Composer John Barry wrote the Bond theme, the scores for 11 of the films, and such memorable Bond theme songs as Goldfinger and Thunderball. Barry has scored about 100 films. He won Oscars for his music for The Lion in Winter, Born Free, Out of Africa, and Dances with Wolves. In the Bond films, Barry's classic arrangements mixed rock electric guitar with big brassy horns. It's an interest he developed naturally. Barry studied with Bill Russo, who was Stan Kenton's composer and arranger. Terry spoke with John Barry in 1999.
The James Bond theme is a peculiar mixture of that low rock guitar figure, if you like, and the brass sound of like the Kenton band, and then the bridge that do dap dee dap doo dee doodly da dee da. It's almost like a Dizzy Gillespie bebop phrase, you know. So it was this kind of hybrid of all these kind of things that I was involved with at the time. And I must say, I didn't give it too much thought. I didn't have too much time to give it a lot of thought. And it just came out like it did, you know. I didn't sit down and intellectualize about it. And I've never read a James Bond book. I'd only seen like a cartoon strip that they used to have in the Daily Mail in England. So I knew it was about a spy. I knew roughly what the essence was. But I never saw the movie. I just wrote the damn thing, you know.
Well, I love this music. So we have to right now hear the James Bond theme. This is the John Barry Orchestra. I love it. It's an odd chord at the end, isn't it? That chord that hangs suspended.
Yeah,
there.
Well, those laid on fourth, and then that. Yeah. I mean, it's such a concoction. It's like when you start making a soup and you don't know really where you're going, but you make it, and in the end, it kind of tastes okay. You know.
Now straighten me out here.
Yes.
The official composer listed on the credits is Monty
yes,
Norman.
Yes, my God.
So, what's the short version of the story?
I'll answer the question by asking a question.
Yes.
Which is, if I didn't write it, why did they employ me for the next 11 movies?
Right.
No more to be said.
Well, I used to love seeing the openings of the movies, you know, in the Sean Connery days when the series was new. And, you know, the music would start and then Sean Connery would walk onto the screen and then turn around and pull out his gun as the music swelled behind
right,
him. That was so
right.
exciting. What did you think the first time you saw the music with the whole James Bond, you know, with the whole Sean Connery thing in it?
Well, when I wrote the theme, I was given a timing. I wasn't given any action sequence. I didn't know what they looked like or whatever. So I then, and it was like the movie was in release in 3 weeks' time. It was a what we call a wet print when it went into the theatres because it was so behind. And then it opened at the Pavilion in Piccadilly in London, and I went on a Sunday afternoon and saw it. And that was the first time I'd ever seen Dr. No. And they, instead of it, and I understood that I was just writing the main title theme. But then every time he says, I'm Bond, James Bond, and they'd laid it in all over the damn place. And it worked, you know. I mean, there's no, with film, there's no middle ground, you know. It either works or it doesn't. You know, there's no, well, it works a little. I mean, a good score is a score that really works 100%, where you just hit all the buttons.
Now, you not only did the scores for, you know, 11 James Bond films, you wrote the title songs for the films. I want to play one of those title songs. This is Goldfinger, sung by Shirley Bassey.
A cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. But don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
That's Shirley Bassey singing the theme from Goldfinger, the song and the score written by my guest, John Barry. What were you told that the theme song should convey?
Well, nobody told me anything. Goldfinger was the, after Dr. No, on From Russia With Love, Lionel Bart wrote the song From Russia With Love. Because he'd...
He's most famous for Fly Me to the Moon and
No,
I'm sorry. The score from Oliver, then.
The score from Oliver. Yeah, and okay. Oliver had just opened in... Yeah, you're thinking of...
Bart Howard.
Yeah, Bart Howard, right. So he had just finished Oliver, and he was, like, riding the top, and rightly so. And I hadn't... Though I'd had an instrumental hits, I hadn't had a song hits. So they said, we want Lionel Bart. So I said, absolutely fine. So I orchestrated all the stuff for the song with Matt Monro, etc., and used a theme throughout the movie. But Goldfinger was the first time they gave me the full shot at the whole damn thing.
Were you told, make this theme sexually insinuating?
No, they really left you alone. They really just... they said, go away and write it. I never discussed with the director or the producers. I discussed it with myself, and I thought, well, what is this about? It's a song about a villain. And then I started to reflect historically. There's no songs about villains. You don't, you know, people don't sit down and write songs about villains. They write love songs, they write sad songs, they write torch songs, whatever. But songs about villains are very rare. And then I thought of Kurt Weill's Mack the Knife, which is the definitive song about a villain. So then I got my head on right, and I thought, that's the definitive song. He managed to bring off the most extraordinary song about a villain. And so I sat down and wrote this rather strange melody, just based on the word Goldfinger, as the opening line. And then I thought, well, who can write a lyric to this? So Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus had also just got a huge theatrical success in England called Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And I knew Tony very well. I phoned him up and I said, look, I've written this song, I've written the melody, but I haven't got the song. I'd like to meet with you. I went out to his home in Hampstead, played him it, and he said, well, what the hell's it all about? And I said, it's Mac the Knife. It's a song about the villain. And he said, got it. Then I'd worked with Shirley in concerts. I'd done concerts tours with her, and she was very big in England at that time. And Shirley has this one thing. She has such conviction about what she does. So I played her the song, and she said, well, what the hell is this about? It's about a villain, Shirley. I said, don't think too much about it, Shirley. Just go into the studio and convince the world that you know what you're doing. And you can do that, because I've worked with you in the theater, and you do this better than anybody else I know. We then went in and recorded it. And originally, it just started off with the chords, dee-dum, and there was no bar, yeah. That wasn't there then. And we had a break. They went up for their 10-minute tea break. And in the tea break, I just found it that what we were playing, it was empty. So I sat down at the piano, and I came up with a da-ya-na-na-dan, and did it on Wow Wow Trumpets. And we put that in, which just kind of brought it to life. And then we repeated it down the line. When Harry Saltzman heard it... He was one of the producers. Harry, I can't tell you what he said.
He hated it, huh?
He said, that is the worst mm-mm song I have ever heard in my mm-mm life. But we're stuck with it because we don't have any time and the movie's coming out. And Guy Hamilton, who was the director... was, you know, he was in the Air Force. He was one of the few who fought the Battle of Britain, and he's very proper and very splendid man. He said, well, I don't know whether it's going to be a hit or not, Harry, but I know dramatically it works for the movie. And Cubby Broccoli said, I like it. Let's do it.
Composer John Barry talking with Terry Gross, recorded in 1999. Barry wrote the scores for 11 James Bond films and about 90 other films, including Midnight Cowboy, Dances with Wolves, and Out of Africa. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with composer John Barry. He wrote the scores for about 100 films, including 11 James Bond movies.
Now you mentioned that Leslie Bricus and Anthony Newley wrote the lyric for Goldfinger. There's actually a terrific Anthony Newley recording that was released a few years ago on...
go on.
Well, I want to play this in a second. It wasn't released till a few years ago on a kind of reissue compilation.
No, because I when we'd done the record, they said, you know, how do we demonstrate it to them? So I went in the studio with Tony and a bass and a bongo. I think that was the full orchestration. And I love Tony's recording, and I'd have loved to have been in the movie, but that's maybe why they didn't get the drift of it in the initial thing, you know.
I
love Tony's recording.
I think this version is a little more orchestrated than bass and bongo, and this is a much more kind of sneaky vocal version than the really brassy Shirley.
That's right, exactly.
One. So here's Anthony Newley.
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. Don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear. but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
Oh, that is really great.
I love Tony. I mean, God, does he know how to point a lyric out? I just love him.
So it's too bad that it wasn't released at the time. I think it could have done well.
I would have thought so.
That wasn't you playing trumpet on there, was it?
No. No, it wasn't. And it was just a guitar and mm-hmm. then a little... Do you know what? I think we did it twice. I think that's when we went back in. We did it just first with bongos and bass, and which obviously somebody has that recording somewhere. And I think then we went back in and just made it slightly more substantial.
Did the success of Goldfinger make it obligatory to have a theme with lyrics for each of the subsequent James Bond films?
Well... Why I always demanded writing the music first was that when you see the whole of the movie of Goldfinger, the theme runs throughout the movie, even the whole Fort Knox sequence at the end. The main da-ya-da, I mean, so I don't like a song stuck on the beginning of a movie because it's just a song, and then it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie, which is what happens today. All the Bond songs I integrated completely into the score, from You Only Live Twice, Thunderball, Diamonds Forever. They were the main title song, but they were also the genesis of the rest of the score.
There's something about your Goldfinger scores songs that remind me a little bit of the Frankie Lane movie themes, those big Western anthems that he used to sing.
Well, it's kind of, you know, I did one or two interviews with the English press at the time, and they said, "What is it?" And I said, "It's Million Dollar Mickey Mouse music," because it's and it's Wagnerian. I mean, the whole opening of Goldfinger is like this very pretentious, you know. I mean, but that was the fun of it, you know. And as Fred Astaire said, "Give it size, give it style, and give it class," and that's like an incredible Bible to follow, and. Hopefully that's what we did. We just made everything larger than life, and we made it a lot of fun. So everybody went in. They knew he was going to be, he'd get the broad, he'd kill the villain, he'd be happy. And that was the formula. And we enjoyed it on that level.
Now, we've been focusing on the theme songs, but of course you did, you know, the scores for the whole movies and underscoring for action scenes and scenes where Bond is being, you know, tied up or about to be lasered to death or there's a snake or a poisonous spider in his bed or he's about to be executed or whatever. Do you have a favorite scene in how it works with the music that you did for that where something terrible was about to happen to James Bond?
God, there are so many. I used to put myself in, like when I used to go to my father's cinema and sit in the front row on a Saturday afternoon and get absolutely thrilled by what was going up there. I tried to put myself into that area. And I guess the in Goldfinger, where he's laid down on the laser thing and the laser's going up between his legs, that's kind of a worrying thought. I guess that was like the epitome of, oh my God, you know. I mean, that was pretty special stuff.
Let's hear the actual scene from the movie.
This is gold, Mr. Bond. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
A scene from Goldfinger. Composer John Barry is talking with Terry Gross. More of their interview in the second half of the show. I'm David Biancooley, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, sitting in for Terry Gross. We continue now with more of Terry's conversation from 1999 with composer John Barry. Barry wrote the original theme to James Bond. the brassy, sassy music that's as much a part of the character as a shaken martini and a tightly tailored tuxedo. Barry also wrote Goldfinger, still one of the most memorable title songs in movie history, and has won several Oscars for his scores for other films.
There's one more James Bond song that I have to get in here, and that's Thunderball, the theme from Thunderball, sung by Tom Jones. I think this is just a particularly fun one also.
Well, there's a kind of fascinating story behind that, because that is probably the worst title for a song you can imagine.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and I spoke to Tony Newley about it, actually, and he says, what do we do? Thunderball, marvelous, you should care for me. Thunderball. So I said, that's not going to work. I think somebody already did that. So it was such an abstract title. So they were shooting down in Nassau. Not Nassau County, you know, the island. They were doing all that stuff down there. And I flew down there, and on the way down, I was reading a magazine, and it said that the Italians had a name for James Bond now, which was Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I thought was really terrific. So I thought, instead of using the word Thunderball, why don't we write a song called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Cubby absolutely loved it. Harry loved it. Everybody fell in love with it. So I recorded. I recorded with Dionne Warwick. We recorded with Shirley. And then the powers that be at United Artists in New York, literally 2 weeks before the movie opened, phoned him and said, you know, we need that Goldfinger thing. We need that title over the radio. And Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang isn't doing it. We need Thunderball. So I called up Don Black and I said, look, I got this. We got to do this in like no time whatsoever. So I said, what does it mean? And he said, I don't know what the hell it means. I really don't know what it means. So I wrote a theme that facilitated the word. Don then wrote the lyric. He then called Tom Jones. And now the whole Bond thing was being a big success. You know, you could have called anybody. You know, everybody now wanted to do Bond songs because of the success that Shirley had had and the whole aura that was hanging around the movies. So Tom came in and he said the first thing when he heard it, he said, what the hell's it about? In his Welsh accent, what the hell's it about? I said, Tom, don't ask. Just take a leaf out of Shirley's book, get in the studio, sing the hell out of it, and leave. Please, don't get into it. Just do that. And he said, oh, all right, okay, I'll do it. So he goes, Thunderball, and it was the same. It was the same mood. Just convince everybody, and he was so convincing. I don't think anybody really analyzed what the hell he was singing about, and I still don't know what the song is about to this day. But we were given that problem, and we have to live with it.
Well, the lyricists came up with good ideas for Thunderball. They call him the winner who takes all, and he
yes,
strikes
Don
like
did.
Thunderball.
Absolutely,
a decent solution to
the did.
Problem.
He did actually, in the nick of time, come out with that line, which made it slightly credible, you know.
I love these lyrics. They're so funny. His days of asking are all gone. His fight goes on and on and on.
Right, right.
So you must have had fun doing this. I mean, this is just really, it's very silly and very fun.
Talk about a license to kill. It's a license right. to write silly and just have great fun. You know, I mean, that was the whole joy of these movies, that this was not Citizen Kane, you know. It was just this fun comic strip, so you could get away with murder.
Well, it's time to hear Thunderball, sung by Tom Jones, music by my guest John Barry.
He always runs while others walk. He acts while other men just talk.
strikes like thunderbolt. He knows the meaning of success. His needs are more, so he gives less. And he strikes like thunderbolt.
Talk about big arrangements. That is really great. I like the way you managed to work in the James Bond theme underneath it. Oh, very nice.
Every trick in the book we use, believe me, we didn't leave anything out. Actually, you didn't play the best part of the song, actually. The bridge. The bridge actually makes that song work.
Okay, cue it up to the bridge. Bob Purdick, our engineer, please cue it up to the bridge.
It's bridge is the most important part of any song, Gershwin said, is the bridge. It's the release. It's how you get from, and it's the old 1930s pattern of 32 bar songs, eight bars, bridge and end, and it's so important how you get that release.
Any woman he wants, he'll get. He will break any heart without regret. His days of asking.
No, I interrupted your thought about the bridge.
You know, it sets up getting back. It goes into another area, but it also sets up getting back into the main theme, which is it's not as simple as it sounds.
Composer John Barry from a 1999 interview with Terry Gross. This is Fresh Air.